Real people.
Real celebrities.
Real talk.
Join the Breakfast Club.
Blast off in your
weekday
head.
Morning, 6 to 10.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Special guest in the building, Mr. Rico Love.
Turn the lights on.
Listen, Rico produces everything.
Okay.
I saw Rico out there. He was taking pictures of him. He was like, let me see that picture. He sits down here. He goes, yo, is this position right? Does it, he produces everything. That's got to be kind of difficult, Rico. You can't.
Wow, you know
everything.
What's crazy? I never even noticed that. You just said that. That's crazy. I do that about every situation. I always is like, is my posture right when you do interviews? Mm-hmm. Everything about, you know, is the lighting right? And I always tell him, like, I saw that light move by accident. I know you walked by, you hit the light. I don't know if you want that to be hit like that. But, oh, no, it's no big deal. I like, cool, just make it.
Is that controlling?
You pay attention to detail.
Absolutely. Let me tell you something. You know I'm dark-skinned, so we could come off real crazy on camera.
Yeah.
We got to make sure every little part, you know what I mean?
Let's put some lotion on.
That helps, too.
Do some people take that as controlling, though?
I never noticed it as much, you know, now until you just said that, I never noticed it. But I don't know how people take it. But you know what? Creatives, I think they respect it. Like
right.
A guy who... knows, you know, a little bit what he's talking about. And
I think
I just, you know, I be around and I you know, kind of like pay attention to little things and I pick up on little things and I listen. So if I overhear you talking about a lens or something like that or different things, then next time I'm somewhere else, I'm be like, yo, I don't know, but maybe you should use another lens because I know those type of lenses get some fall because I heard somebody say it.
I heard somebody else say it.
And they'll be like, oh, wow, you know, you pick up on things.
You know about everything.
Yeah, and I always ask questions. If I see a film of myself and I'm looking a certain way, I'm like, why is that? Oh, because we shot with the wide and we should have went closer on the zoom. So now I'm like, I learned that. So next time around, I'm like, yo, don't shoot me on the wide. Shoot me on the zoom.
Information never hurt nobody, man.
It never does.
But you're a workaholic.
Yeah, man.
But, you know, how do you work so hard and still spend time with your family? I'll tell you a story which impressed me. Flew out to Miami and I spent the day with Rico, right? And me and Rico went to the store, went shopping, and came back. And I would say in 20 minutes, he completed about 10 songs. In 20 minutes, no lie. And these were
impossible.
I said the same thing.
It's impossible.
Well,
I don't believe either one of y'all.
Line it up on line A. All right, I got a hook. Did the hook.
20 minutes.
I swear.
It wasn't full songs.
It was just hooks.
Oh, gotcha.
Hooks, concepts, and, you know, laying ideas. I lay a verse on this one, an idea to this one. All right, this the next one. Give me a hook on this one. I lay a hook idea on this one. Because I don't write anything down.
Wow.
I just listen to the music and it kind of like, not saying wow, because sometimes it's terrible, you know, sometimes it's good. It's just
real.
That I never try to let you
real
hear the terrible.
They was like, all right, for instance, shout out to Fat Joe. It was like, yo, Fat Joe wants a record. I got one record for Fat Joe. Boom. I send that to Joe. All right, yo, Envy, this record. It was just like that. I was sitting there like, this mother effer is really talented.
Now, I love the song that you did for Envy.
Yeah,
from the first time I heard it.
A couple of records.
Now, I was going to say, was it just him sending you that one, or was it...
I called Envy personally and said, this is your record, by the way. I don't do records and throwaways. I never do records. Like, I don't shop music. I don't... you know, a lot of people, producers, and this is lesson to a lot of guys, you'll keep yourself a way more exclusive if you don't send everybody the same record. I would never insult Envy like that and send him a record, and then he go play it for somebody, and they're like, he sent that. He sent that to me. I got that in my inbox. So what I do is... I'll be in a studio and I'll be selective. I'll do 20 songs in within a few weeks and I won't shop any of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be months go by and nobody has ever heard them. But when I get in a studio with somebody and I'm just like, you know, I think this will work for you. You know what I mean? I believe in collecting catalog and collecting music and not whoring yourself out, because that way you become more exclusive and then you'll end up with way more songs on other artists because they feel special. Like this record was created for me or with me in mind.
There's only one whack part about the Envy record, and that's the part where it says DJ Envy in the beginning. Take that out.
That's sound like a classic IG comment.
Yeah, exactly. The one thing I noticed about Rico too is you don't really stress artists. And I, you know, I have that problem because I can't stress an artist. I can't call an artist a million times.
Nah.
But you have that same thing. Why is that with you? Because you'd be like, hey, look, if I ask you one time, it's your word. If you don't do by your word, I just don't F with you anymore.
Ever. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean I got a problem with you. When I see you, it's love. But it's just on a business. I'm never going to ask you to do anything for me, ever. If you notice, all of my singles, I never had features. It took everything in me to get, you know, Usher and Wiz Khalifa on the remix. And Usher's one of my best friends.
That's weird, though, because you a producer-songwriter, so why couldn't they return the favor?
You would think, bro, you got people who won't even tweet for you, bro. Mm-hmm. You got people who, and I don't ask, you know, I just know if I gave you a number one record and I'm in the studio with you and we made millions together, you would think I got an album coming out. And these guys will call you and be like, congratulations on the album. Well, put that on Instagram, man, so I can get my followers up, bro.
Did you know what Wiz Khalifa was going to talk about on the remix for somebody else?
I had an idea, you know, and that was the reason I called him. And that's just to be honest. You know what I mean? A lot of people try to make it seem like, no, I didn't call you just because of what you're going through. No, that's the time to call you. Right. When we make records about getting money, nobody has a problem with saying, oh, well, you relate to getting money. Mm-hmm. I just know you went through some serious heartbreak. Mm-hmm. This song is about heartbreak. Talk about it. Why not? Because men are so comfortable talking about we get money and we winning and this and that and pop that and shake that. But we don't express pain. Mm-hmm. We don't express fear. We don't express remorse because we feel like that's weak. But I always tell people honesty is the most strong thing a man could be. When you're honest about who you are, mm-hmm. you know how good you sleep at night when you Absolutely. Tell the truth? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You're like, it's like a weight off you. You feel like you got that off. So, I just feel like it was meant for him to get on that record.
You do have songs about heartbreak and remorse. Do you ever cry when you're writing these songs?
Never.
Get emotional?
Never. But I'm not against crying. I haven't cried in like a long time. But I'm not against anybody that cries.
You just had a baby recently. You ain't cried when the baby was born?
No, I haven't cried yet.
Really?
See, when my son was born, I think I cried when he was like 3 months because I just stare at him when he's sleeping and you just kind of get emotional. Mm-hmm. Or like little things they do when they call you and be like, you know, daddy, when are you gonna, why does mommy have a different last name than us? You know, you're like, oh.
That's happened to Charlamagne.
No, that's what made me get married.
Oh, really?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, those type of things, you'll be like, oh, man.
I mean, that's not the only thing that made me get married, but that was one of the main ones.
He just thought about that, like, hold on, man.
That's gonna sound crazy.
That was one of the main ones. Like, that's a hurt feeling. Mm-hmm. Like, yo, because you have no answer.
You got no answer.
So for all you ladies out there, if you want to figure out how to make it.
Here's a script to tell your kids.
Now, I want to go back to you with these artists because I find it very disrespectful that none of these guys would show you the same respect I'm sure that
you
showed
them. He didn't say none of them.
I mean, some of them do, but what it is like this, right? You'll see people out and you're like, one thing, this is random. I got to say shout out to DJ Khaled because he's the best at this.
The best.
At Fat Joe and DJ Khaled. I think Khaled, in all respect, and I think he would admit this, he learned it from Fat Joe, who is the president of, yo, run down on homeboy and make sure you get on the record. Because I remember, in fact, Joe at one point was like one of my closest friends in the whole entire world, right? Mm-hmm. So Macho, and this, me and Joe were really close at the time, really, really close. And Macho was sitting in the studio like Debo waiting for me to do the verse.
Right.
I'm like, bro, I'm going to do it. And Macho would be like, yeah, I'm going to wait for you. And that's the type of thing. And you got to respect that because their mentality is, get it done.
Right.
I don't care how it makes you feel. I don't care how uncomfortable it is or how. Mm-hmm. But me, I just, my pride.
Your ego.
It's not ego.
But that's kind of whack though. Because
I feel like if I ask you to do something for me, and by the way, I want y'all to understand how this game is set up a lot of time with producers and writers. When I charge a flat rate of $50,000 for a track, and then I do a record for whatever person, mm-hmm. and they telling me, well, since we're getting two records, can we get them, you know, 2 for $60? Can we get two? Can we work this deal out and do this, whatever? And you're like, man, of course. Because to me, it ain't about that. It's really about getting the music out. And that's why I've been able to have, you know, certain amount of records out at one time, because I always was working deals with people.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like if I worked a deal for you, it's an unwritten rule like we have.
When I come back around,
it's love. It's love. And I'm not asking anybody. I don't even ask people to get on my records because I believe it's impossible for an artist to get other artists, other people in the world to get to know them if they surrounding themselves with people they're already familiar with.
Right.
It bugs me out. When an artist is like only got one verse on their record, they got somebody featured on the hook and then another person rapping.
Yeah.
And you're like, bro, you got one verse on your own single. Mm-hmm. How do you expect people to know you? Even if your record does super well, you mm-hmm. do shows everywhere, why would I buy your record when I really don't truly identify with who you are? And that goes in content as well. But with me, I'll say this. I did that for you, and that should be a solid. And then later, I should come back and say, and I ask simple things. Envy knows me. I'll say, yo, post this for me on your joint.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I got you. Nothing. Then my company, everybody's calling me. Everybody works for me is telling me, bro, call them back. I'm not calling no grown man back about no.
Let me post this right now.
End of the day.
You have to have the follow through.
End of the day.
I tell Envy the same thing. I think that I like the way Khaled them do things. Sometimes you got to be
Let me tell you. The follow through is one thing, but then when you see me out again, I'm going to tell you something. If I make a mistake and forget something, as soon as I see you, I'm like, oh, I forgot to do that. Let me
do it
right now.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, since I just saw you, let me knock that out for you right now.
Right.
But, you know, and again, I don't want anybody, fun. I don't want anybody to think I'm looking at these guys like F them. But at the end of the day, I just know I'm not going to put myself in a position where I got to keep asking you for something. And like I said, Khaled and Joe, they like, they don't care. They like, we need to get this done. And then you look at how it benefits the artists usually that they do the stuff for. Mm-hmm. Think about it. If anybody who Khaled has done a record with or put on his record, it really, it benefits both. It benefits Khaled, mm-hmm. and it benefits the artist. You got a free marketing opportunity for him to market your record and work
you
a record with you.
You know he's going to market it.
And now when you see these guys,
he get the same problems though.
I'm sure, but he leans.
But he keeps
he
going.
Said he said he the going. Newer artists are actually a lot harder for him to get than the more established.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he keeps going. Khaled keeps going.
But guess what? I bet you they're going to do it. I bet you he's going to sit there in the studio and make sure they do it. I bet he's going to call them every time. If Khaled got to do a whole, everybody, I need all my followers to tweet, blah, 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 and let them know. He don't care.
He said it's like a different code with these newer artists. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't have the same kind of way that they were.
Oh, let me tell you something. These new artists got it all figured out, too, by the way. They think they know everything. Can't nobody tell them nothing. Can't nobody tell them what's right or what's wrong. And they never had extreme success. See, the best part about my career was I started off with Usher. Mm-hmm. So I started off with Usher during Confessions. Mm-hmm. You understand when Usher was shut down malls, like when he was shut down whole blocks and
Superstar.
Streets, it was ridiculous. And we'd be in Paris somewhere and it'd be like whole
Superstar.
Everything. And then you go be just in Detroit and the same thing happened. So these artists, they'll get a little bit of attention and they'll have a semi-hit, you know what I mean?
And more with, Instagram followers than you.
Exactly. And then they'll be like, can't nobody tell me nothing about a record, about mm-hmm. music. And then you look at your discography and you'll be like, I probably could mm-hmm. though. You know, I probably could tell you something because I've consistently been able to do it. But you just let these people, and time will run its course, and you see what happens.
How does that work with artists that are signed to you? Because I know, you know, obviously you and Tierra Thomas are not working together anymore, mm-hmm. and you had different ideas on where her career should go. Was it a problem where she kind of felt like she knew, and, you know, she wasn't?
Know what it is? Is that, first of all, she's one of the most talented people I've ever met in my life. Mm-hmm. And that's saying a lot. One of the most talented writers, really brilliant. But what happened was, when I signed her, she was writing certain type of songs. And I signed her on, it's like if I married you because I thought you were this way. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as we got married, things changed. I think it's safe to say, everybody knows about the whole situation she was going through with the Wale and everything. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think it put her in a real dark space. Imagine you a sweet girl, you know, from Indianapolis, and you get on Twitter, and every day you get on Instagram and Twitter, and people are like, calling you names and bashing you, and they don't even know the details or anything, and they just going crazy on you. Now, this not me, a guy who's been in the game 12 years and seen everything. I can handle that stuff, you know? But a girl who's like, I can't believe I didn't bother nobody. I really didn't do anything wrong, and these people are really coming at me crazy. And mm-hmm. every single day, I think it put her in a dark space where her writing is concerned. And when she wrote songs like Gang Signs and Popular and Bad when I signed her. So then later, she started writing different type of records that I didn't think were superstar caliber records for her. I think she was bigger than the song she was writing. And mm-hmm. this is a girl who's super talented, could write anything. And that's just my opinion of it. So this is, I don't want anybody to take this as me dissing her, because I could never do that. I came on this same show and fought and defended her. Mm-hmm. So if I came on this show and tried to diss her, how crazy would that make me look?
You just said she got whacked, though.
No. I said that I think they put her in a dark space.
Right. Because you were her biggest champion. You were debuting mm-hmm. new songs. You were like, I want to make sure we debut her new
single.
Anytime
I was like, I was fighting with the company, I need her on the remix. Mm-hmm. They didn't want her on the remix, but they don't know. And I was like, this is my biggest record, number two in the country. I'm not going to put my artist on it. Yeah. These are type of things that I was going in for. We spent, you know, a lot of money, you know, on her and on a rollout without even having a chance to really put out a record. But I think that our visions change. And one thing about me is I know how it feels to be an artist, and I know how it feels to be pressured. And I say, you know what? I never want to be in a situation where I'm forcing you to do nothing and then we don't like each other. So instead of me saying, right, you don't want to do what I do, shelf her until she get her mind right, and then I'm going to own you forever. No, let you go free. You know what I mean? Because I don't want to be in that situation. Even though people around me was like, you need to get this and you need to do this. I'm like, but I don't have, I'm not mad at her. I just don't agree with where she's going, and she don't agree with where I want her to go. But, you know.
Is that what she wanted, though? Or did she want to try to still come out but still have it her way? Or did she want to just not be signed anymore?
I don't know. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't have a conversation with her. I asked Interscope. You know, I said, I don't think it's going to work out, which I like to keep it, because I don't even want to try to box her out. I didn't want to say, well, I'm dropping and y'all can't. I said, which I like to keep it and go straight through Interscope. Mm-hmm. And they said no. And I said, cool, well, then give her a release. Let her do her thing. If she feels like she knows, her and her management feel like they know, mm-hmm. let's do that, because I don't want to be in a situation where I'm holding anybody down and making them feel away. You know, do your thing. And
You're the best CEO ever, man.
Damn.
But what I do is... And that probably makes me the worst, because I've had artists before, and they all, no artist ever can walk around and say Rico Love did me wrong or Rico did anything. If you look at how close me and Young Chris are, you know what I mean? I took care of Young Chris, bro. You know what I mean? I got Young Chris an apartment in Miami, and Young Chris did not come to the apartment one time.
What? I'd have been there.
One time. You know, and that's my brother. We could share those type of things. But
why wouldn't he come into the
Because apartment? I think what happens is you surround yourself with people, you know what I mean, who I think at that time he can admit who was in his ear saying, bro, you know, you need to be doing this. You need to be on this. And we, you know,
you need to be in Philly.
You need to do this. And a lot of time, home wants you to stay home because they feel like that's how, that's what keeps you authentic. But I was like, bro, come down here. Think about this. When I wrote Motivation with Kelly Rowland.
I'm not going to just come and stay in
the apartment. It was laid out. It was an apartment. I rented this dope apartment on the beach, like right down the street from where I was living at the time. It was laid out. But what, and he never went to it one time. Not one time. And
that's crazy.
And it was crazy. And he'll even admit to you, he was like, I was bugging.
Right.
I had people in my, you know, in my around me that was telling me certain things. And I'm going to tell you a crazy story about positioning yourself where the things happen. I wrote Motivation for Kelly Rowland. And as soon as we finished it, Kelly said, where's Young Chris? He should rap on this.
No.
She said it like playfully.
You are lying.
I'm dead serious.
Right.
Wow.
She said it like, you know, who knows if she was even serious or if she even would have followed through. But she just said it in passing, like real cool. Like, Young Chris should rap on this.
Damn.
That's your artist, right?
You was like,
and I was like,
instead of Wayne.
Bro, you could have been, it would have ended up probably being Wayne because they would have later said, let's get, you know how that is. But at the end of the day, I told him that
it's
he was bugging. It's always the opportunity, always be around and always be available. You know what I mean? I always made myself accessible to the opportunity in the beginning of my career and still even now. If somebody calls me right now with an opportunity, I'm jumping on a flight. You know what I mean? I'm doing things that a lot of people at my level wouldn't be humble enough to do because I just believe in winning and I believe that I haven't made it yet. A lot of people look at me and they be like, oh, you do? I haven't made it yet because when I hang around, I live in a neighborhood full of billionaires on purpose because I want to be the poorest person in my neighborhood because I need to feel like I haven't hit the ceiling yet. It's so far from me. And I think so many people feel like they made it and they have not arrived. I'm here to tell you, you have not arrived yet because I haven't. And a lot of people who are above me feel like they haven't. When I was just with Usher the other night and we was in the studio just vibing, right? And I'm just like, he showed me a new house he just bought in the Hollywood Hills just for the, you know, I just a little joint I bought. And I'm like, damn. And he don't feel like he's, you know, he feel like it's still so much for him to do. When I'm around Puff and I'm seeing how hard he works, I'm like, how can I possibly feel like any opportunity is too small for me when I'm looking at guys like this who going above and beyond to do whatever.
I mean, you're on the network right now.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Come on. Exactly. So, you know, I gotta grind. So I think it was a learning experience for everybody, but I always lend myself and always believe in opportunity being there and present. But just back to the Tierra thing, I believe in her. I think she's a superstar. You will never hear me say anything bad about her. Her dad called me the other day. He says, yo, I'm going, out of the country, you know, some spots that I can hang out. Yeah, I got you. Me and her pops talk a lot. He's a super cool dude. Shout out to Court.
Do you think it reflects bad off you that, like, none of the artists you sign end up popping off though?
Only I think yes it does, absolutely. But I'm honest enough to say those things didn't work out, but I will also admit, you have to admit, I did everything in my power to help every artist that was around me every time. I think that what I didn't do that I should have done was been a little bit more tough on them and bitty, like put the fist down a little bit more, because I just don't, I hate that forcing thing, but I should have been like, listen, these are the records we... It was a song that Tierra had to call popular that she hates. It's the first... When she performed the song for Jimmy Iovine, when I first was trying to sign her, Jimmy Iovine and John Janik said, this is the record. Everything leads up to this record. She hated the record after she did it, I guess. See, when she wrote it years ago.
Right.
But we don't know that. We just know that it's a brilliant song and it's just a genius lyric and it was so clever. And everybody's plan was, we're going to put out a warm-up, and we're going to put this single out. She changed her mind. I think, in retrospect, what I should have did was say, we putting this song out.
Right.
On some Puff Daddy shit.
Right.
Because that's what he would have did. He would have been
absolutely.
Like,
absolutely. Okay.
Because in her mind, she might have done it so long ago and it's so old, but for other people,
and then
fresh and new.
And it's such an incredible record. And it's not a record that, you know, a lot of people would say, well, you know, I didn't have any bias, so I didn't write the song. It was her, like, I thought it was genius, and I should have just said, no, listen, we putting this record out. And then you'd be mad at me because I looked at the Usher situation. When me and Usher first heard Yeah, me and Usher sitting in the room, I'm a 19-year-old kid, and we first heard Yeah, We laughed hysterically.
Really?
We said it's the worst song ever on the planet.
Really?
Think about this, bro. The first few lines. Imagine you hearing Sean Garrett in a high-pitched voice screaming, I'm in the club with my homies trying to kick a little VI and put it down on a low key.
Sound dope.
Yeah, that sounds kind of crazy.
No,
now,
it don't.
You think about
no
it.
That sounds trash, bro. Yeah. We was like looking at it
and
like,
Lil
what
John
is it?
Lil Jon was on fire then. That was hot.
But think about this. That. Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. People did used to make fun of that line all the time.
You know what? Now that you think about it, like,
they
yeah,
used to make fun of that
and
line.
And we was like, and we was
but
in
you're
this,
still saying it because
we
it was
sitting in Usher's living room. And I remember being like a little, I didn't deserve to even speak at the time. And I remember him looking at me and he gave me a smirk and I just fell on the floor laughing. And Mark Pitts and KP was in the room and they were like, y'all tripping. This is a number one record. Mm-hmm. And they tricked Usher. They said, just cut it. We'll put it out as a warm up and, you know. And they put that joint out, went number one right away. And even Usher, when I saw Usher again, I was like, we was wrong about that.
Boy, were we
so
wrong.
Why should
boy,
we ever
were
we listen wrong. To You Are Usher about any music, Rico?
Because at least, because I just admitted that. And that's
true,
why.
True.
Because, and that's the situations we are in sometimes. Right. Sometimes we think, at Usher's level, this is the Confessions album. He had already had 87-01. He had already had My Way. So both of them sold 7 million each. Mm-hmm. And he still was able to admit, I was wrong. Or he had an opinion that wasn't correct. And we all have those things. So imagine a new artist who hasn't had any success and mm-hmm. telling you what they going to do. It's like, I should have been like, nah, you're going to have to, we're going to have to, you know, I can live with being wrong.
So
with
it's
this
like part. Your job to guide.
And I think what I don't do, which I should do, is I care so much and I get so frustrated, but I'll just be like, you know what? I ain't going to force you to do it when I should have just sometime.
Right. Let the artist be an artist instead of you doing
but
your
in, but if they knew best, I would be signed to them.
Right.
And that's the thing we got
to. Have you ever questioned yourself, like, maybe I'm just not cut out to be a label owner. Let me write my songs, produce
no,
these
no,
records.
Because that's what people want you to feel. And that's what happens with trial and error. Think about, I always bring this up. Think about Royce and Maybach. Mm-hmm. That didn't just pop off, bro. He tried before, and then, you know, certain artists he put out, it didn't work out. And he stayed down with his homies, and it didn't work out. Mm-hmm. But in America's society, that is the definition of success. But in urban culture, give up is the answer. You know why? Because you'll see people comment on you or say something to you like, why don't you just do this? Yeah, or why don't you just do this? And I'm like, because I'm not you. Mm-hmm. And I'm not regular. And I believe that if you fall, you're supposed to get back up and keep trying. And at the end of the day, what does it cost me? What did it cost you for me to try? And that's the craziest thing about black people is that when we see somebody trying something, we love to be like, why don't you just stop? Why? How does this affect you? Like, why does it bother you
now,
so
if
much?
If you're a whack rapper, I will tell you to quit. F your dreams. Everybody can
but
rap.
But people get better.
I agree. Well, some people are whack. But at the end of the day, what does it take for me for him to try? It don't do nothing to me because nobody going to hear it if he whack anyway.
I love that you put this on Instagram.
That's real.
I love that you put this on Instagram. Somebody tweeted you, I didn't want to like this Rico Love album, but it's actually pretty good. Why would somebody just not want to like it?
Let me tell you something about our people. At all costs, we want to try to find a way to embarrass you or say something smart. We can't even give a cool compliment. We can't even say, you know what? I'm surprised this record is good. That would have been cool, but I didn't want to like it.
that means
that I went into the situation saying that I don't like you.
No.
Every situation I go into, I try to think the positive for it. I always give it, or else
right,
I just won't do
too.
It. Or else I just, because for one thing, if I don't feel like it'll be dope, I just won't listen.
Right.
But people just go, I thought it was honest of him to say he didn't, you know, that I'm a hater, but I had to call him out and say, it's crazy.
That's a great feeling, though, that you won somebody over
absolutely.
That came into a situation.
But you know why he say that? The guy, people say that because if I just say, yo, this Rico Love album is dope, guess what I'm going to get? You dick riding Rico. Mm. All I said was the album
but
was
if
dope.
You say, but if you say, I didn't want to like it, it's a different level. You know, if you say, that I'm really surprised at how good this album is, then that's one thing. But if you say, I did not want to like it, that means you're saying to yourself, I went into this situation not liking you.
Mm-hmm.
A person who never bothered nobody. Y'all don't see me doing much, but
no.
I don't be out here doing no corny. I don't bother nobody. I'm not, you know, I just mind my business, take mm-hmm. care of my family and do music. When you look on my gram, you look, all you see is my kids, my dog, and my studio.
You think people are afraid to be fans now?
Absolutely.
Yes, I agree.
Everybody an artist. Everybody's an artist.
But how do you, when you make your music, how do you decide what you're going to keep and what you're going to give away?
It's really easy because for the past 2 years, I haven't been writing for people. Mm-hmm. I haven't been writing songs, if you know. I mean,
because you've been focusing on yourself,
and also because the frustration. We spoke about it a little bit the last time I was here. When you spend time developing and building artists, when I did that Looking for Myself album for Usher, and we worked hard on that record, mm-hmm. and then to see them just go with a dance song after we made this challenging effort to make music that was cutting edge and provocative, and then see the record company come in and say, all right, that's cool. Do this song called Scream that Dr. Luke and Homeboy did, and we gonna put this out, this dance record. And we're like, but that goes against everything we've been building.
But Usher's big enough, well, he ain't gotta take that. He ain't gotta accept that.
But sometimes people make decisions because they feel like, think about that. Remember the year conversation?
Yeah. Okay.
Now you're questioning yourself. You're like,
maybe they're right.
So maybe they might be right this time. And I don't, you know, so I think sometimes when you go into situations with artists, I did a brand, the Brandy album, what's the last Brandy album? 211? Me and Sean Garrett did the majority of that album. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was some incredible records on there. And then when the album came out, we thought we were going to get this push. I gave a shout out to Breonna. I gave Breonna a super discount for like 5 records. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, because I don't think about that upfront money. I'm thinking about legacy. I'm thinking about, I have the opportunity to be on the greatest, one of the greatest singers of ever album. I did a record. And then she said, all right, cool. You know what? I don't want to do the album no more. I'm going to go do the game, the TV show. I'm going to go do this. And it's like, all right, this thing that I take so serious. By the way, I'm a person who really... You know this. Everybody, I think, could know this about me. I'm very serious about music. Mm-hmm. I'm passionate about it. So every song means something to me. It's not just a check. You rarely hear me talk about money. You hear me? I even get frustrated when people ask me about money. Or like, how much money did you make on this? I'm like, I don't like talking about stuff like that. But I got frustrated because, look, every song is a baby to you. I wrote a song on Brandy's album called No Such Thing Is Too Late and Harley Breathing and Paint This House and Can You Hear Me Now? And these songs were incredible to me. Some of my best work.
How much you make on those songs?
not man, not nearly enough. You know what I mean? And you look at it and you're like, these songs meant so much, and it's frustrating. You spend all this time. Think you spend a year on a Usher album, you spend a 6 months on this Brandy album, you do this, all these projects that you're really passionate about, and they're out of your control. It's like you had a child and then somebody takes it and just raises it how they want to raise it. And you're like, but that's my child. And that's how I felt. So I just felt like, you know what, let me do something that I love. And obviously, artist, it's just, it ain't the same type of paper.
Now I completely understand why you want to be a solo artist.
Yes.
Now it makes perfect sense. Because, people will say that too. Like, why you want to be an artist? Why you should be a singer, songwriter, songwriter?
But just, and also just listen to the music, man.
It's
and listen,
personal.
Listen to the music and listen. This album is so real to me because it's my honest contribution. It's like me saying who I really am and how I really feel. And, I don't come out all forced, man. I don't do a bunch of corny stuff. I don't really, when I look at, some people that came before me and people be like, well, this person did this. But I look at it and I'm like, it looked like he trying. It looked like she trying. It looked like it's too much. But with me, I get in a van and go from city to city and do 100 interviews in a day. I go do promo. I just left LA. I did promo all day in LA. I got off the plane and came straight here. And then I got a full day. And then I go to sleep and I wake up at 6 a.m. and I got to audition for a movie. And then I got to do the same thing, promotion all day. And then the next day, the same thing. Then I'm going to plane and fly to Miami and spend time with my kids. This is serious to me. Mm-hmm. So when you look at this effort that I'm putting forth, if nothing else, you could say it got to be something to it because the man made too much money in the other world. Mm-hmm. To be just doing this and not making the same type of paper.
Why is it easy to swallow your pride to go out and do the new artist hustle, the stuff you don't have to do, like do the 100 interviews in a day, but you can't pick up the phone and say, hey, man, could you do this record for me?
Because it's something I'm doing for me.
Got you.
Now, I control that. Mm-hmm. I control how hard I work. I can't control if you're going to say yes, and I can't control it. And one thing I'm uncomfortable with is a no from a person who I think should say yes. I would rather us not even talk about it because I don't want to feel a way about it.
I'm the same way.
You know what I mean?
And it's the same reason. With a girl and you
Rico's
tell a girl,
love is really like.
What about when you're dealing with a girl? Listen, what about when you're dealing with a girl? You done tricked off a lot of money, whatever, whatever. You took her out and you're like, yo, let me get some of that pussy. And she like, no.
He's in a relationship.
Man, you know what? If me and my girl took a girl out and we spent a bunch of money on her and she was acting funny, my girl would tell her, sweetheart, you got to go.
Sure.
Oh, that's funny.
I just wanted you to give me the same answer you gave before because that sounded like rape.
Oh, my gosh, shut up.
Somebody that's supposed to say yes.
Well, you could not like it. That don't mean you're going to take it.
Yeah, facts.
You know what I'm saying? So
the album is out right now. Turn the lights on.
Turn the lights on.
TTLO.
Yeah, real quick, though. The album is super important to me. I want y'all to understand the meaning behind Turn the Lights On. A lot of people say, you named your album Turn the Lights On, obviously, because you say Turn the Lights On every song you write. It's a true meaning. I think the lights, they represent success, and they represent money, and they represent things that happen to you when you become successful, I want to write about. So when the lights come on you, even on the intro, I talk about it. It's saying, what you gonna do when the lights come on? Mm-hmm. Like if you went from one day to not having nothing, and then the next day somebody gave you $10 million, your life changes like that. Mm-hmm. And your views on marriage, your views on relationships, your views on monogamy, they change. And instead of me making a whole album about how many cars I bought in my big house and this, this, and that, I said, well, let me talk about how those things affect you as a person. So it's really strong titles. This song called For the Kids. And it's talking about a lot of us in life and in relationships, people stay in relationship but because of the kids. And it's a song called Run For Me. And this is a true, honest story. I had broke up with my girl for like 3 months. This album takes place within that space where we've broken up for 3 months. That's
Run
what the whole
me,
album.
I don't like when somebody that's supposed to say yes says no.
Shut up. Run For Me.
Now, the Run For Me is such a strong song. And what it represents is it was a girl I was seeing while I was broke up with my girl. And I was really into her and I was feeling her. And I just said to her one day, you know what? I can't mess with you no more. And even watching this interview right now, I know she's going to be like looking at me like shaking her head. But I was like, I can't mess with you no more. And she's like, what? What? I said, if my girl called me right now and want to get back with me, I'm going to get back with her.
Damn.
And that's just me being 100 because I know where this is going.
Right.
We're not just having fun. We catching feelings right now. Mm-hmm. And I know that for, no matter how deep our feelings get into this situation, if she called me right now and say, all right, cool, I want us to be back together, I'm going to leave and I'm not even going to never talk to you.
But why did y'all break up anyway?
Man, you know, I was out here being a hoe.
Keep it 100.
You know.
Why not?
Out here wilding. And, you know, we deal with those things. I spoke about that on the album as well. We deal with things and, you know, man, we wild out sometimes. We just really, and then you mess up. And then what happens is sometimes, it's one day at a time. But
you
we
got a song called The Affair.
Yeah. It's like a lot of real records. But wouldn't you want that from your artists? I think, Think about this. We get on Instagram and we get on Twitter. We go on social networks. We go on Ball Alert. We go on Shade Room to find dirt about personal lives of our artists, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that gets the most attention.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But then these incredible artists, they don't talk about personal issues on their projects.
Right.
And they wonder why they don't sell. They're buying your personal life on social media and somebody else getting paid for it. But why don't you give examples of the truth that you went through? That don't mean you have to give details or what day or what girl, what person. Why don't you give a little bit of who you are? And I'm going to be honest with you. Do I expect my album to sell a bunch out the gate? Probably won't. But at the end of the day, 1 year from today, I promise you we're going to be in a different space because we're going to work this record. And you introduce one person. If every week you get a few more people to tell a few more people to tell a few more people, you got to work it. And you got to say something that's worth hearing. It's only so much we could turn up. Mm-hmm. It's a bunch of club records. And guess what? They know when they listen to that record in the club and they like, cool, your first single was a big club anthem. But guess what? In a few months, it's going to be another one of you.
Word
up. And we're going to be sick of that sound. And as soon as that sound is over, we're going to be sick of that. And the producer is really eating more than the artists are because they like, cool, when you're gone, I'm going to still be me. Mm-hmm. You're going to come and go. People are not going to, they're not attached to you because you haven't given them something to hold on to. When I first listened to, So Sick by Neo. Mm-hmm. I was like, bro, this is a genius song. It made me want to know who this guy was.
Classic.
It made me feel something. And I think artists are making records that don't make people feel anything.
Right. And that's why they don't stick. And that's what I was talking about yesterday. I was talking about the Lil Wayne Believe Me. It sold a million records, but it ain't stick. You know what I'm saying?
A lot of those songs. But I think at that level, he already has people who love him. And that's a different conversation. I'm talking about more
establishing
new artists who are trying to establish a base. The reason why They Don't Know was so important to me is because it was a chess move. You know why? It was a conversation starter. I can't believe he said that. Mm-hmm. The reason why bitches be like was so important is because it was like, I can't believe he said that. And now people got to come to know who Rico Love is. Mm-hmm. And I don't know some artists who have had bigger records and people don't know who they are and they know who I am. Mm-hmm. Because you have to, who is this dude? Even if they like, you whack or you this or you ugly and you black, you did it. They still know who I am and they still recognize me. And I think music has to do that. If you're not doing that as a new artist, if your record is not saying something for real, I'm telling you, that big club record, enjoy it. Enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. I think another thing people enjoy about you, though, is you do have something to say. Like, even when you see you in your interviews, mm-hmm. you're honest.
Mm-hmm.
You got something to say. Even on Twitter, you engage with people.
Absolutely.
People don't have no personality.
They don't. And it's nothing to them. And I, you know what? I've been in the game for a long time, and I've seen a lot of things. You know, Mace raised me. You know, like, and I'm learning under Mace, learning under Usher, and, you know, being under Puff and all these guys and watching them. It's like so much you could pick up. And I think so many guys spend time with artists, and they don't pick up on the things that are important. It's just like if you've been on I know guys who've been on world tours and couldn't tell you anything about any cities. Because you know what they do? They go in their room and they smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it's time for the show, they come out the room, do the show, get some girls, go back to the room, and they smash, go to sleep, go to the next city. And I'm like, you're not even educating yourself based upon your surroundings. I'm going to live life, bro. Because guess what? Everything you live, everything you see is regurgitated when you're a true creative. Mm-hmm. Everything that I absorb in my mind, I can give it back to the world, and I can learn, and I can educate myself and teach others through Absolutely. That education. And I think we don't do that with our records, and that's why we don't sell albums, and that's why artists like a Kanye West can put out a record without no singles. Whether people like the Yeezus or not, it had no singles, and he's still platinum. At the end of the day, end of the day, Kendrick Lamar don't got to have a radio smash. People believe what he has to say, and they believe in him. J. Cole, I'm so inspired by these guys. Even Drake, I listen to Drake, and I'm like, Drake is a genius. You know why? Because he jumping on y'all records, and he using y'all records for the foolishness, and then he making his record about the real stuff. It's like, all right, cool, you talking about nothing, but I know you're going to get attention. I'm going to jump on the record. Remember, Jay-Z used to do that to everybody. Jay-Z would be like, oh, he's the new guy. Jay-Z call you, what up? I want to get on your record. Oh my God, Jay-Z want to work with me.
I say that all the time.
And then he'll be like, yeah, I'm going to take this wave from you and then go about your business. When you're not hot no more, you're not going to be able to call Jay-Z.
No way. Drake is doing exactly what Hov used to do.
Come
Hov
on.
Jumped on
genius.
Ha, the Houston record.
Genius, but guess
go
what?
Boys go crazy.
When you listen to his record, it's like a guy who smoke all the time but don't buy weed. You know what I mean? When you smoke, he smoke. When you go to his house, he be like, where the weed at? I don't buy no weed. Matter of fact, what you still doing here?
One last thing. Do you want to see Floyd and Pacquiao fight again?
No. Floyd don't got nothing to prove to Pacquiao. He beat that man. He beat him.
Where that question come from?
Oh, because I know. Because I saw Floyd. Well, I don't know if you guys saw this, but Floyd was actually tweeting him.
Floyd reached out.
Oh, okay.
And reached out to him.
Yeah, yeah. He reached out and said he's giving me 4 free tickets to his next fight. Because, I just like to defend things that I believe in. You know, I wasn't trying. I didn't even add him. You know what I mean? I just was saying, you know, how I felt about the fight. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, every time every time he fights, they say he's going to lose. And every time he wins, they say that he did this and he only won because of this, or this person ain't this.
Oh, it's boring.
It was boring. But at the end of the day, I felt like the fight, if you think the fight was boring, which I don't, is only boring because of Pacquiao. He the only one who didn't fight his fight. Floyd fought the way
Floyd
fights.
Floyd fought the way he always
fought. The way he fights, yeah. And he stood in the middle of the ring and he challenged him. Now, it was a few times where Floyd would grab him and, you know, collect himself. He trying to figure it out first few rounds. But after that, he was here. He was taking the flurries. He was been dodging the flurries. So at the end of the day, I don't want to see. And I don't believe Pacquiao deserved to fight Floyd in the first place. Mm-hmm. He took too many L's. And that's just me being on it. He took too many L's, and you don't deserve to fight no champion. You keep taking these L's from the people that he already beat up. So Floyd taking the fight was like, cool, I'm going to do you a solid. Since everybody want the fight, I'm going to do it, and they're going to cash me out. But you don't deserve to fight him no more. And he was a sore loser. I don't think I lost the fight. Yeah, come on, bro. You lost the fight.
So did you know him before he reached out, or you just...
No, I didn't know him.
Okay.
I still don't know him. Mm-hmm. He reached out and just said, you know, it ain't like I'm not going to probably be at Floyd House tomorrow, you know, none of that. But,
I was just wondering if y'all knew each other.
No, we didn't know each other. He just was like, you know, you got 4 free tickets to the next fight.
His next fight comes in September. And you don't hear nothing. Do you reach out and say, yo, Floyd, what's up?
Or you got too much pride.
Nope. See, you got damn pride, boy.
Nope. But
I'm going to be like, Rico told me to get his tickets.
Envy's going to be like, yo, we need our tickets.
Yo, remember when you promised Rico ball tickets?
2 for me, 2 for him.
Yeah. I need one. But
we appreciate. I got a quick question before we stop that, all right? Mm-hmm. All right, this is the thing that I dealt with. I had a conversation about this. If your girl don't like boxing.
Right.
Do you take her to the fight?
If you got floor seats, you better.
See, that's what I don't agree with.
You got to, because
look, you have to. Listen, who are you going to take?
How they look.
Because listen. It's for Instagram. That's why it upsets me. Because think about this. You got friends you grew up with your whole life.
That love boxing.
Love boxing. Yeah, 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 yeah. And you like, I don't watch sports. I don't watch this. And as soon as it's time to do that,
you
it's like, so when we go into the fight?
Absolutely.
So you got to take her.
Sides. I'm sure she probably do a lot of things for you that she don't really want to do.
She want to do
so
everything.
So then she got to cash in.
But if you got like a pot, your father like love, like, nah, I got to take pot, baby.
You getting 4.
I'm getting 4.
So she can go.
So it's a lot of my homies going to be upset, bro.
Pissed
but
off.
Yeah, but.
That's your girl.
You ain't getting them tickets unless you follow up. So I just think
you got to follow up.
You need to follow up.
I'm going
to
tell you, we got to bring some girls with us too. Then. We can't just be at the fight.
After the fight.
Yeah.
Well, it's the Breakfast Club. It's the homie Rico Love.
Turn the lights on.
Turn the lights on.
Turn the lights on.